Welcome to This Is Real, a podcast series produced by the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Inspector General. I'm Todd Silver, and in our last episode, we dove into the investigation of Florence Bakundi and her home healthcare company, Global Healthcare.
She should have never been involved in the healthcare system at all because HHS OIG, 10 years previous to this, had excluded her. So it intrigued me from that point on. How did this individual get into the system and re-enter the program?
In this episode, we're going to go into how far Florence Bakundi went to conceal her scheme and the extent to which she spent the money she stole from you and me. Florence Aguayo, which is Florence Bakundi's maiden name, had her nursing license revoked in 1999. The next year, the agency excluded her from participating in all federal healthcare programs. However, she was able to conceal her past and get back into the system using her married name. Once she was in, she carried out a massive healthcare fraud scheme, billing millions to Medicaid for personal home health services that were not fully provided to Medicaid beneficiaries. The case against Florence Bakundi took years to develop, but the investigation started to take shape when Agent Curtis began interviewing the so-called patients.
Where you start to get mad, where you start to see things that bother you, is when you start to go and interview patients. And you go and you knock on the door, and somebody answers the door that looks healthier than you do. And you start to ask them about why they have home health care, and they start to tell you about high blood pressure.
Agent Curtis even describes an instance where he went to visit a patient who was supposedly receiving home health care, and the patient wasn't even home. Later, Agent Curtis received a call from this homebound patient while he was at work at a home improvement store.
It's mind-boggling to think.
The more patients Agent Curtis interviewed, the more he realized that the bulk of Global's patients did not need home health care. Global didn't want patients who needed home health care because they'd have to take care of them. The company only wanted patients who had an active Medicaid card through whom they could bill Medicaid. This is a big problem because you have a company billing Medicaid for services that were not provided, and now these services may not be available to people who really need this care. Although Agent Curtis could never prove that Global denied patients who needed home health care, he has seen cases where this kind of behavior has real consequences.
I have investigated abuse and neglect in the District of Columbia of an individual that was shot. It was a young kid who was shot and was a quadriplegic. When you're quadriplegic, you have to have somebody assist you in moving so you don't get ulcers or sores on your buttocks and your back. This kid couldn't get a legitimate company to take care of him because he's too much work and it's too dangerous. This kid actually died from having open sores on his back get infected, and that actually took his life because of this type of care.
Let's take a step back and identify the players in the scheme. Bakundi's the mastermind. The beneficiaries are in cahoots with the patient recruiters and the personal care attendants. Agent Curtis believes that Bakundi's family is also involved, namely her husband, her son, and two of her sisters. But the one outstanding question is, what about the doctors? According to Agent Curtis, the doctor's signatures are crucial in a scheme like this because, whether they're complicit or not, that signature verifies that the patient needs this care. If Global didn't get that doctor's signature, they wouldn't get a dime from Medicaid. The problem was that the doctors refused to sign a prescription for unnecessary home health care for their patients. But that didn't stop Bakundi. She turned this problem into a party. A signing party, to be exact.
They would have signing parties, and Florence would send one particular employee out to buy, in her words, special pens to do this, and then buy them pizza, and they would sit all night long forging District of Columbia medical professionals, mainly doctors, signatures.
During these signing parties, Bakundi also directed her staff to forge legitimate plans of care. So this is what they do. They take real plans of care, they cut out the doctor's signature, then they glue it to a new fraudulent plan of care, and then they'd photocopy it to make it look legitimate.
And then that was what they would turn into Medicaid. So they were quite masterful at document forgery at Global Healthcare.
You said that they had these parties late at night when some of the other staff were gone. So there were actually other staff who thought this is a legitimate business?
Yes. So there was the inside group, and then there was all of the other people. They weren't necessarily aware of the in-depth crimes which were going on. Now, those people provided great information when we interviewed them on what their job was and what they were told they were supposed to be doing. So we could prove Florence Bakundi knew the right from the wrong through interviewing these people.
One employee in particular was the key to the investigation. The director of quality assurance at Global provided intricate details, the dates, the times, the receipts, the special pens, and it all pointed to Florence Bakundi.
He sunk the ship for them. He was the linchpin to Florence. He knew everything, and it all lined up with the evidence. So it put it right in Florence Bakundi's lap.
You may recall that Agent Curtis described this case as going down one rabbit hole after another, and each one added more evidence, more suspects, and more money. The case could have gone on for many more years, but he says at some point you have to finish the investigation and take it to the prosecutor. That isn't easy. Special agents love working these complex cases, where every day they uncover something new. The more evidence they uncover, the stronger their case. And that's exactly what the prosecutors are looking for. That's why they work closely with prosecutors when developing the case. The prosecutors help the agents determine, among other things, when to go to Medicaid officials with the evidence and tell them to stop reimbursing this fraudulent company. I mean, you have to cut off the money at some point and go after the bad guys, right?
You want to be very judicious in how you use that administrative authority. That is a very tough decision because what if they were a legitimate operating place and we just shut them down? So you really try to go through your investigation to make sure you have a credible allegation of fraud before you shut someone's payments down.
This is where the danger of healthcare fraud comes into play. In the Bakundi case, a suspect was making millions of dollars from a fraudulent scheme. But she may also be involved in other criminal activities, things that the investigators may not even know about, drug diversion, identity theft, organized crime, you name it.
We don't just do administrative stuff. We come in, we put criminal cases together, and we come with an arrest warrant, and we take you to jail.
But aren't we talking about medical providers like doctors, nurses, and pharmacists? Isn't this just white-collar crime?
It's white-collar crime, but, you know, the back of our raid jackets say police.
That's Agent Thompson, an assistant special agent in charge with the agency. She has more than two decades of experience in law enforcement and has investigated just about every type of healthcare fraud. She's also an instructor at the agency's Special Agent Training Academy. One thing she stresses to the agents is how careful they have to be when they knock on a suspect's door and say they're the police.
I can't tell you how many search warrants I've done where we've come away with drugs and guns. Yeah, I think every single search warrant I've ever been on, we've found at least one weapon.
You never know. A search warrant is one of the most dangerous things that we do. You don't know what's going to happen when you knock on somebody's door. Whether you're there for the healthcare crime, those people don't know that. If Florence Bakundi or whoever else we're doing a search warrant on is committing other crimes that we have no idea about, well, they don't know that. We don't know that. They just know the police are knocking at the door, and they might. That drives people to do things they normally wouldn't do.
You know, just because it's white-collar crime, you know, we're going into their million-dollar mansions, and it's a potential that they could lose their livelihood. So, no, they're not just going to be, you know.
They're not just going to roll over.
Exactly, or just go quietly. You know what I mean? There's a lot of risk involved.
After careful planning, Agent Curtis and his team arrived at Bukundi's doorstep to arrest her in February of 2014.
How did that go? What was her face like when she opened the door?
So she was completely shocked. She was completely shocked at the search warrant. It was one of those things where I don't think she ever believed it would get to this point, like we would figure this out. So she was shocked.
Fortunately, the arrest of Florence Bukundi was non-confrontational. Once they had her in custody, Agent Curtis could see firsthand where all that Medicaid money was going.
They had a huge house. It's a mansion. They had fake palm trees planted in the yard, a pool, a deck house out back, numerous luxury vehicles.
The vehicles alone were valued at over $400,000. She took Medicaid fraud to a whole nother level, to the point that Thanksgiving Day was every day at her house.
Inside the house, they had a complete dining room table that was not being used, that was permanently set up to look like a Thanksgiving feast, with wax, turkey, like a complete spread meal, just decked out for looks. If you name it, they had it in their house. They spent the money that they got on opulence. They spent it. They wanted to look good. They had lavish parties at their house. They really put on a show.
Investigators were able to prove in court that Global Healthcare cheated DC's Medicaid program out of more than $80 million. That's $80 million that could have helped low-income families, children, and individuals with disabilities.
I don't think you'll find one agent who isn't passionate about, you know, their cases. And we don't want to let them go until someone has either paid restitution, or what I like to tell folks is that we're selling jail time. You know, oh, they're locked up. When you get that end result of the bad guy getting sentenced to 40 months in prison for Medicaid fraud, and you know you're stripping them of that big mansion that Medicaid paid for, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. I think it's what keeps a lot of us going.
After the arrest, the government was able to secure over $11 million worth of assets, seizing the cars, freezing more than 70 bank accounts, and putting a lien on the mansion. The judge also ordered restitution to be paid back to Medicaid, but we'll discuss the aftermath of the trial and what happened to Florence Bukundi later on in the series. Coming up in our next episode, we take a look at another extraordinary case that was part of the 2014 DC takedown. This time, the fraudsters went after an especially vulnerable population for their Medicaid scam, the homeless.
I've never seen this in any of my other cases, and I was actually, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, and it was so rampant all across the district.
See you next time on This Is Real. I'm Todd Silver. Thanks for listening.
This Is Real is produced by the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Inspector General. The agency reminds you that if you suspect fraud, waste, or abuse in any HHS programs, including Medicaid or Medicare, report it to our hotline at 800-447-8477 or 800-HHS-TIPS. Visit oig.hhs.gov for more information. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and watch us on YouTube.